welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and it is now or never, and it is Feedback Friday. And usually this is where I take the chance and take the time to help you understand why it's now or never. And the short way to do this is it ain't getting any better. What makes you think, what gives you any confidence that it's going to get better? Oh, I vote Republican. I vote Republican. It's got to get better. And I support the Republican Party. That is the problem. You got to vote the Constitution. You got to demand every candidate does and supports their oath of office. And so, I mean, you know, there's these organizations, one particular that says, you know, we don't need an Article 5. We need to, you know, we don't need to support Article 5. We need to support Article 6. No. We need to support the entire Constitution and demand full compliance. Full compliance to their oath, full compliance to, you know, staying within the enumerated powers, not allowing them to go outside the powers delegated. Folks, we're going through all of this with the ratification debates. And so everybody should have absolute clarity. That's what we do for this show. This is what we do for you. We're not here to, you know, feed your emotions and you know, give you information to get you incited to go and chase clipping the fingernail of some tyranny. I want to give you this metaphor because I deal with this all the time. I deal with people that are, you know, trying to go down this path very specifically to go after one specific thing. You know, like, in other words, quit reacting and start attacking. Because when you see government surface, 9 times out of 10, there's a whole myriad of violations of government behind all of that to actually finally start affecting you. And I'll give you a good example, parental rights. And so we've actually got... a petition moving in South Dakota. It's just beginning. We need your help, by the way. If you're interested in, you know, taking back these powers the government has taken regarding your family rights, your parental rights, your individual rights, those types of things. And so they've creeped in via all of these different mechanisms. And so we need petitions to deal with each of these. And one very specific one is parental rights, because we actually see America. We've been aware of this. And I've actually tried to get other people that have been fighting this to take the time to stop clipping the nail and actually create the full argument of how it's all unconstitutional. What I mean by that is there is a bill that passed in Washington. Now, if this hasn't passed in your state, it will be, and it will be very soon. It will probably become a state bill in many of the other states, because once it gets through the petri dish in one particular state, so once they actually start executing this and it is successful, then you're going to see your state legislatures passing a very similar bill. What this bill did, and I don't know what it was, I think it was a Senate bill, but it doesn't matter. The essence of the bill is to guarantee to a child that it doesn't matter what age the child is, as far as I know, but it doesn't matter. This is a minor. This is somebody under the age of 18. And I believe it extends to any age of what, if a child can get on a public transportation, if they can get onto a bus, all they have to do is tell the bus driver. So this is what they're telling the kids now in school, now that this bill has passed. You know, all you need to do is tell your bus driver that you want to, you know, change your gender. Then this bus driver will, because they know where the sanctuary is, they've created a sanctuary, and this child will be taken to that sanctuary through. This is unfathomable. This is unconscionable that the child will be taken to the sanctuary to where the parents will not be able to have the child back. And they will assist this child's desire to change its sexual orientation. Do you understand the evil this level of evil of taking away parents' rights. But see, they had to first take away your rights with, oh, this thing called, you know, it's because it started under this really noble plan, as far as I'm concerned, one of the penetrating laws was the Child Support Enforcement Act, where the federal government got involved in child support. Because we wanted to be able to really clamp down on these evil men or women, in some cases it's women, that, you know, have the custody of the, you know, that do not have the custody, that are not paying their fair share of support. And so this was this noble plan. Well, the federal government had no authority to do this. And when you look at what they've done, and they started creating other parental or child protection services. So the Child Support Enforcement Agency and the Child Protective Services and the federal government's involvement in all of this, that's how it all started back after the revolution, or I should say after the Cultural Revolution. They literally started attacking the family. And I'm here to tell you folks that this one bill, even though it's doing this one thing, they've taken away the medical rights. You know, they're protecting your child's right to have an abortion. They're protecting your child's right to seek, you know, pregnancy prevention and, you know, those types of things. I mean, they're doing all sorts of things, and they're even teaching your children crap. So here's my point. You know, if you attack this, you know, the sanctuary and this process, then you're only going to possibly, you're taking the chance of, you know, possibly not being able to win the argument because of some technicality. I say that you cut the hand off. Instead of clipping the nail, you have to cut this entire hand off. And the way to do that is to make a comprehensive argument, a constitutional comprehensive argument, irrefutable, to prove that all of these actions have been spawned from government acting outside its enumerated powers. Not even one state has the authority within their constitution that I know of. I've not seen any state amend their constitution to surrender parental rights to the states. And yet they have all the parental rights they need now. How did that happen? Oh, because the federal government started giving them money. And so they started changing paradigms. They started creating bureaucracies and rules and policies. And next thing you know, you've got all of these brown shirts basically running around and attacking families. And they're focused. They are focused on any family that's Christian and conservative, because it's your dogma that they see as the threat. If you don't believe me, go read Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. I've been telling people this for years, that they've created the tantamount. They have basically created underneath our own very nose, just like they've created the Antichrist Church, they have created a Department of Babysitting without even building the office of the Department of Babysitting. And the only step that we need to get to at this point is for enough people to actually stand up and say, we think that this is just good, that there are just bad parents out there, you know, filling their kids with religious dogma and those types of things. Because folks, as we look at this little meter and we see that, you know, how many people are Christian in America, but how many people are strong, convicted Christians? Because you may find people that are Christians that are really problematic because they claim to be Christian, but they're actually communists. I've seen this, and I've seen this actually in different church settings where people have basically taken a stand on communism, claiming that that is the Christian way. And we've even seen this play out in the news where politicians have basically said in Congress that if Christ was here, he'd be a socialist. Are you kidding me? Whatever happened to this concept, given to Caesar that which is Caesar? But never to cross these boundaries of salvation, because Caesar can't give you salvation. And so I can't emphasize enough, you know, how this all kind of goes down to some basic, I'll just say basic quips, basic one-liners, what do you want to call them? Not platitudes, adages, what have you. You got to focus on upstream because downstream is only giving you the problem, you know, the results, the you're seeing the symptoms of the problem. The real problem is upstream. And so when it comes to parental rights, we now see a whole bunch of crap in the water. And this bill in Washington State is one of those. And I'm telling you, folks, if you don't start focusing on demanding full compliance, we actually have to take the high ground, and we can do this. Martin Luther could do it in 10 years. He actually proved that it could be done regarding the church and something so sacred and so personal as changing the direction of how people are to be saved and how they viewed their salvation. Because for centuries and centuries, and I'm talking for a millennia, over a millennia, the people of the world believed that the Roman Catholic Church, because it was the dominant Christian faith that was growing since, 330 AD when Constantine created the Roman Catholic Church, because he was somehow anointed by winning this battle over a bridge. The fact that there are people naive enough to understand or to believe into these things and not understand, that is not of God. Because we can recognize, he tells us, we just constantly look, you can recognize whether that's of him or not, because he is consistent. If he would never have done that, then why would you think that he would do this? Anyway, so it's Feedback Friday, as you know, and I can't emphasize enough, and I want to say this because I've only given you this one, example and created this metaphor of clipping nails and cutting off hands. It's time to actually go upstream and identify the root of the problem. Now, I can say this because those of you who have been listening to the show long enough have heard me talk for a long time about the upstream view. But before I really get into some of this stuff, I got to tell you that I've had a lot of, I don't want to say complaints, but I've had a lot of people really express their desire for me not to wait because they realize it's probably going to be over a month before I finish the special edition, the special episodes regarding the presidential campaign. This is what, if America wants to become great once and for all, if you're looking for a president that is going to create an invincible republic of liberty, then this is what has to be done. And we actually have to start enforcing the Constitution and how the president can do that. So that Monday show, I told you I'd get into the campaign then, but I've had way too many people say, you got to address this. And so, okay, we'll talk about it, but I'm going to come at this on my Feedback Fridays because that's what the feedback I'm getting. This is what people want because everybody is seeing their whole world basically crumble in front of them because their world as they see it isn't the constitutional framework. The other day, in my conversation with Paul Venable, as we were going through the ratification debates, and I've said this before, but I actually laid this out, that we no longer have a Republican form of government. Why? Because you're not seeking to have one. You could actually have a Republican form of government in a reasonable time, and this goes back to that Martin Luther thing. The sooner that we, the people, demand the government that we're entitled to, we're guaranteed. I can't emphasize this enough, folks. The Constitution in Article 4, Section 4 guarantees to every state in the Union a Republican form of government. And so this is how the states actually have to take a stand and actually start telling the courts and the federal government that they don't have authority to tell them how to run their states. As long as they are in compliance to the U.S. Constitution by the letter and spirit of that law, then they cannot come in and manipulate the states for their progressive agenda so that we can actually be exploited and destroyed, because that's what's happened. So when I talk about the form of government we have, the form of government that you are supporting is a monarchical party democracy of socialism. That's the form of government that we actually have. We have a monarchical party democratic or democracy form of socialism. And so I talked about this when we were going through the ratification debates and this guarantee of a Republican form of government. And folks, you can't tell me that the party even cares about, you know, restoring our Republican form of government, not even the Republican Party. And unfortunately, even the Constitution Party plays to the same tune. I mean, they've every party out there, you know, the Constitution Party's closer, the Independent American Party's closer, and, you know, some of these parties are dying because of, you know, a lack of people getting engaged. I'm not going to leave the Republican Party. And in some ways, I kind of understand that. I believe that the Libertarian Party caused a real problem. Because what happens when you secede? Because that's what the Libertarians did. When they left the Republican Party, they seceded. So when you leave, this means that you no longer have the ability to invoke change and to demand and drive change within the party. In other words, they felt that there was no way they could take the party back. I'm telling you, there is a way to take the party back. And there is a way to legitimately actually get rid of the parties. But the only way you can destroy the party system is by using a party and the law of the land to do this. It's really simple, folks. All you need to do is get the party to be fully focused on full compliance of the Constitution. This isn't, you know, some theoretical, you know, formula that might produce something, or, you know, going into, you know, things that are, you know, hard to comprehend. The problem is that every party out there actually feeds and supports different agendas. Now, like I said, there are some parties that are, you know, better aligned, but no one's there. No one's on top of the mountain. And we need to get politicians that are running for office. We need to get people to become the champions of the Constitution and actually become, you know, outright claiming and leading and proving that they are defenders of the Constitution, not the party. When the party does that, when we actually get the party to say it is not about the Republican name, it is all about the Constitution, then the party itself loses itself into the Constitution. And it becomes this, you know, when I was just talking about this today, I was kind of talking about the Republican Party that Madison created. And when the Federalists really started taking the nation, when they really started leaning left by taking and creating the Alien and Sedition Acts, this really woke up Madison and Jefferson. As far as they were concerned, the Republic was clearly under the threat of its demise. And they were right. It was the beginning of the end if they didn't act. And so they did act. And in 1 year's time, those two men conducted a coup that has not been done since. And I believe we can do it. And folks, mark my words, I believe we can do this, but it all has to be a concerted effort of leadership, and it has to be a unified organization. We have to unify all on the Constitution. You know, if Martin Luther could actually convince people to change such an intimate and personal thing such as spiritual salvation in 10 years, getting our government fully focused on the Constitution, you know, shouldn't even take that much time at all, especially when we realize how all of these problems are rooted in violations of the Constitution. Every single one of them. This is why these petitions are that important. This is why what Martin Luther did in creating those 95 petitions, they call them theses, but these were petitions. These were arguments that the scripture said this and the federal or the Catholic Church, federal government. Well, it's about the same. I mean, it is an Antichrist church right now. And so it's basically like a religion. It does more. Well, actually, a religion is a theocracy, too. A religious government is a theocracy. And in some ways, I could probably include a monarchical party theocracy of democratic socialism. There you go. How about that? Because our nation has become anti-Christian. When you think about what the school system is doing, when you think about what the media is doing and everything else, and folks, we have the solution. It's really that simple. You have to demand full compliance out of every public servant to the Constitution. And the only way you can do that is by understanding the Constitution. And the best way to do that is, one, reading it and reading the ratification debates. I was going to say the Federalists or the Anti-Federalists. No. It's actually the debates of the Federalists and Anti-Federalists in the ratifications, not the actual papers. Don't worry about the Federalist Papers. You'll learn far more about the Constitution when you read the ratification debates, because here is a live discussion back and forth between the eminent minds of the time regarding, you know, what the Constitution really means and how people were trying to subvert and distort and pervert the intent behind this Constitution. And in some ways, some of these men actually forecasted, how they were going to violate the Constitution to actually undermine it and to subvert it and do the despotic things that they claimed they would do. But to be clear, everything that's being done that is tyrannical and taking away our rights and destroying our liberty, all of these things that they were claiming are actually the products of violations of the Constitution. So in other words, what they were saying the Constitution would do was an outright lie. What the fact is, and as we went through both many of the different debates, but Massachusetts really seemed to drive this point home, that, yeah, whenever you give power, powers can be abused. We have to keep them in check. And so clearly those powers that they're talking about, those things that they're talking about doing, don't exist within those powers. They would actually have to aggrandize themselves. They'd actually have to violate the Constitution and assume powers not delegated. And that's what's happened. The Anti-Federalists weren't right. They weren't. The problem was not the Constitution. The problem was that we never kept our public servants in context to the Constitution and stuck to that. We have to hold them accountable. You want to change things? The only way, the way change begins is by holding your public servants accountable. That's the only way you're going to get the outcome that we deserve and that we really need. You may want vengeance, but America deserves and needs compliance. They need to restore the law, the supreme law of the land, and the framework that supreme law has created. And so I just can't say this enough. Nobody can refute this. As a matter of fact, I've met really great people, and they're brilliant people, and they agree with me. I mean, these people understand things that I don't understand, but that's, you know, they're limited on what they know about the Constitution. And so this is a humbling thing for me that I'm actually able to, you know, I'll say rub elbows with such smart, brilliant people. And it's humbling. It's very humbling to be able to, you know, have people call and contact me and say, hey, GR, you know, what is this? Is this constitutional? And I'm telling you, folks, you know, every time they know it's wrong, but they just don't understand how. And so we have to break it down and we go through this. So this is why what's going on in South Dakota is really important. And I've just been passionately speaking. I actually have an outline I want to go by. So when we come back, I'll try to dig into the outline, you know, with limited obligatories. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I've been getting pinged on talking about the election. I haven't even gotten there, and I was going to do this today. So let me try to stay a little bit focused. Now, last week, I was talking about censorship, truth, discipline, enlightenment, and those types of topics regarding, you know, should we be able to create laws? I mean, is censorship necessarily wrong? It's one thing to not have something in a public library. It's another thing to have an evil library, but it's okay to create a law that nobody should have access to that under the age of a certain age. Our society was that way. Our society was open and free. We didn't have censorship. But adult material was limited to adults only. And we had laws, and we still have laws on the books, that subjecting children to erotic material is illegal. That's the language of the law in the state of Washington. And they're violating it because the education system believes they're above the law, because they believe what they're doing is important to our society when it's not. This is why I talked about it's very important to get your education and look at your Constitution and start framing that education on the very specific things that you expect, that you're granting them these powers, but only these powers can they educate with. In other words, keep them out of social engineering. It's clear when you allow them to start teaching things that are theoretical, like, you know, their religious philosophy of godlessness, that we were all evolved from a mouse or from some life form. Are you kidding me? We have the ability to keep that crap out of school. That's not scientific. They can't even prove that we evolved. There's all sorts of great arguments on both sides, and until it becomes law, those things cannot be taught to a child under the age of 18. And we got to get politics out of the classroom, we have to get theocracy out of the classroom, which means that the presence and the discussion of creation is just as valid as the discussion, and actually more valid, because there's still more evidence that we were created than they can even come up with regarding, you know, life itself. And I don't want to get into the Miller-Ulrich experiment and all that. I've done that before. But bottom line, we do have the power to create boundaries and discipline within our society. And when we start doing that and we start, you know, enforcing, and everybody becomes respecting discipline and boundaries, then we actually start becoming an enlightened society. It is only those who are trying to debase us that gets us to say, oh, who cares about that boundary? Who cares about, you know, that little, you know, that little rule, or, you know, who cares if somebody sees something that, you know, is it really inappropriate? Who's to say when it is appropriate? We the people have the ability to actually frame this. Now, to be clear, folks, if you get 100% of the people to all agree that smoking, all agree that smoking should not be allowed, then we can actually outlaw smoking. And technically, by the Constitution, it only requires 3/4. Here's the question. Why haven't we done those things? Why haven't we made it so that if you smoke, not that we choose to take away your right to smoke and to grow your own stuff and do your own thing, but if you choose, because this is the way to go, because I believe people should have the ability, if you're an adult, a consenting adult, you should be able to do those things, but you can't do those things in public. We should be able to make our public spaces, you know, a free environment of those things, you know, and I don't care if you have a problem, if you're going to smoke in your home, if you live in a California development where your house is right next to another house and your smoke permeates into a non-smoker's house, they have a right to say, hey, that crap's leaking into my house. And so you may have to buy something, or you may have to only smoke in your car or wherever you can contain yourself. Because you don't have the right to affect others, but you have a right to do whatever you want to do. Your rights end where another person's rights begin. I learned, this was the one lesson I learned from my father, the first thing I learned about the Constitution and our framework of government. And this is just, it's Christian. Everybody has to choose for themselves. Everybody has to make those decisions. But to do those things in public cannot be acceptable. We can't place public standards. So I just wanted to kind of close on that and emphasize that. The next thing I really need to throw in here, because I need to let you know, Google is acting like a government. I can't tell you how much harassment I get for my business, you know, or for what I'm doing with Reclaiming the Republic and my other efforts of being a patriot. I get harassed every day. Google bombards my phones with voicemails saying, we're trying to verify your business and you need to, you know, contact us. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get all information that Google does not have a right to have. And who does Google think they are to come along and say, you know, we are the directory of the people. You know, you have to give us this information so everybody will know who you are. We are the enforcers of transparency. And I'm telling you, they're the spies. They're the enemy. I send emails to anybody with a Gmail address. If you've got a gmail.com address, you will likely never get an email from me. And I've been telling people this for years. I've told my friends in South Dakota when I started working with them, they're not getting my emails. I called them up and said, did you get my email? No. And I go, that's because you've got a Gmail address. And I'll prove to you. So what I'll do is I'll use a WeTransfer and I'll send them a few of the emails that I sent them that they didn't get. And they go, oh my gosh, how come we're not seeing these? Why is Google not, they're kicking these things back. And they're not even going into their junk or spam folder, folks. Google is the enemy. You talk about censorship. You talk about somebody actually taking away something that you're supposed to get based on the rules of email. There's no reason why they expunge that and tell you can't do that. The reason why is because Google believes they control, and they actually are controlling our internet. You got to get off of Google. You got to do everything you can to get away from Google and their controls of the internet. Are the Alphabet Company. And as a matter of fact, you need to get this. This is all a part of, so sorry for speaking in fragments and kind of stuttering here. I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of stuff to go through. And so this is all a part of our campaign. Go look on our Take Action page and our basically our campaign for the Bill of Rights for the 21st century. We actually talk about how to reel big tech in. That big tech, you know, can be a great resource, but they cannot become a government. They cannot take away our liberties. They cannot actually start censoring and doing those types of things. Because any entity that is doing that type of stuff, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, that this is not age appropriate to be in an email. That'd be great. Why doesn't Google stop all, you know, pornographic spam? Why doesn't Google stop pornography on the internet? They have the controls. Why is it that they allow it to permeate? I mean, who hasn't gotten emails that are absolutely offensive? Absolutely offensive. They're not to do that anyway. They shouldn't be doing that. But they could actually, and your government needs to, set up the boundaries. And what I mean by that is we have a right, because we have laws in every state, that erotic and pornographic material and those types of things, if you are going to allow any type of nudity or sexual content that could be erotic in kind, it gets a .xxx instead of a .com. Twitter, beware. Facebook, beware. All of these social media outlets, beware that we actually can move you into a domain that will not be available to the public. In other words, you actually have to go out of your way to enter into a domain and have to actually prove that you're an adult. We need to create those types of barriers. And we can actually do this, folks. Your states can do this. They have all the authority to do this. We don't want the federal government doing this, because when they control stuff, they use it as a tool against us. So anyway, I'm done haranguing Google at this point in time. So my next step is to actually kind of dive into, you know, the FedNow updates, that type of stuff. So right now, as of March 7th, gold was 1814. It's creeped up a little bit more to 1969. So in other words, it's, you know, over $100 more still. It came down a little bit and it's kind of been slowly creeping up. And silver is now, it was $20.07 and it's now $24.37. So it's gone up. It's gone up, you know, kind of a decent percent, right? That's about, what, $2, that's 20%, right? Okay, so it is up 20%. Now, gold is up at a marginal difference. So I am telling you that if you really look at what you're buying, if you look at the spot prices, because that's what these are the spot prices, and go look at what 1 ounce of silver costs and the type, you're better off buying a silver round for protecting yourself, because you're paying for a false shortage or a manipulated market of the liberty. Now, I believe that there's merit in possessing liberty dollars, because liberty is a recognized silver dollar ounce. You walk up with a Monex round, or you walk up with somebody else's round. And by the way, there are other mintings out there that are silver minted coins, the Cougarand and others, that are actually much cheaper. They're foreign minting, but that becomes problematic, because you got to understand, what are these coins for? These coins are for bartering. And the person that you're basically putting the coin into their hand and saying, this is pure silver, this has got this value to it, that person will look at that and, well, I've never heard of a Cougarand. How do I know this is silver or a Monarch spot? That's why a Liberty Eagle is definitely the best way to go, because somebody that holds that realizes that's a U.S. minted coin in their hand, and they know the purity is what it is. And unless you have, you know, a test, unless you have a mechanism to, you know, give them the scientific proof, and see, here's the thing. You could actually have the scales and a way to prove that this is really pure silver, you know, 1 ounce pure silver coins. You have to make them smart on what this is that you're showing them. So you actually have to have the time to educate them. So here's the question. Do you want to take that time in a time of emergency? Because the emergency funds that you really need really probably should be in that Liberty coin. Because, like I said, you could do a very quick transaction without having to open up a water scale for water displacement, for the weight and everything else. Because somebody can look at a coin and say, well, that's an ounce. I can see that's an ounce on the scale, but they have no idea if that's displacing what a silver coin would, or a silver ounce would be, to a gold ounce. The water displacement is actually a little bit different. In other words, there could be lead or something in there. So there's these different tests that they use to prove that that is silver, that that is gold or what have you, by the size and everything else. So it's all the displacement weight and all of that. So anyway, let me get back to this upstream versus downstream, because when we start looking at this, because people want me to talk about the Trump election or the presidential election. Trump, is he going to be our president? Can we have a king again? Can we have a good king, a king we like? You know, I don't care. I really don't care about any of these people that are in office. As a matter of fact, when I want to go through the field, I'll go through the field when we have that time. But I probably won't get to it today. But the bottom line is, you know, we have a liability, and the Republican Party and some of these monarchs, these beloved public servants that are in basically, they've ascended to a level of kings and princesses and princess and princes. I'm sorry, princesses. Anyway, forgive me. I have problems with my tongue, my mind, and things working. And you hear me, you know, I'm just terrible with names. But anyway, our republic, I want to get into this. Actually, before I get into this, I forgot. I've got a little note here. I need to let you know that there's some biblical ramifications going on right now as we speak. So Iran, Gog and Magog, have never worked together. I mean, they've never had an alliance for thousands of years. And as a matter of fact, it was foretold, I believe, by Isaiah, that Gog and Magog would make a pact again and start working together. And that's when you see the formation of Gog and Magog, you know, consolidating in going against Israel. Well, guess what, folks? It's actually hit the news, and a lot of people aren't, you know, connecting the dots, that Iran is now actually helping Russia. Believe this or not, you know, here's Russia that builds ballistic missiles and all of these different things. And now Iran is actually helping Russia build a drone plant for the Ukraine war. You know, so when people realize that their best weapon, and I'm going to tell you something, folks, a lot of people have guns. A lot of people are using their best defense as, you know, having guns. I'm here to tell you, you really need to start looking yourself and your organizations. If you're working with the 3%ers, the militia, or what have you, you need to start investing in drones, because that's exactly what they used in Iran, and that's what they've been using to basically go after Americans in occupying forces, to basically harass and, you know, frustrate our ability to do things. And so they've gotten and they've innovated this, and they've realized, because we use these things too. We use drones too as an attack type of weapon, not as a force projection, but just to basically sneak in and make its do its destruction. Because once the drone has been, you know, obliterated or destroyed, or, you know, even when it crashes, it's just a basic little plane. You know, the munition may be what you need to know, the communications and that type of stuff. And that stuff usually gets pretty badly damaged and hard to re-engineer. Not that you can't, but bottom line, Iran has been very innovative, and they've been using this since we were in Iraq for so long. And there's no doubt in my mind that they were working with the Taliban and others, because, you know, when you hate America, it brings people that, you know, don't like each other together to help come up with good responses and ways to frustrate us. Well, I'm telling you, the drones is a very effective piece of technology that you can actually pick and send and boom, frustrate somebody. Just to let you know, folks, you know, if you want to start thinking about, you know, a good defense, remember, and I'm going to say this again, because I was talking and I don't think I got into the metaphor, so maybe I haven't said this lately, But I talk about, you know, cutting the fingernail of the problem that you're dealing with. In other words, reacting to a very specific problem instead of cutting the hand that is, you know, the real source of that problem, that upstream view. And so it's the same thing. The adage here is the best defense is a good offense. We shouldn't have to defend ourselves against fingernails. We should just cut off the hand. We shouldn't have to defend ourselves against, you know, opposing forces. But when we do, when we actually have an opposing force, because our national security depends on us, the militia, then I believe that you need to have and utilize the technology that other countries have proven very effective. As it's so much so that Iran and Russia have put aside their age-long, because people don't even remember why, but for this age-long time, they've just not gotten along. And I don't know why. I'm sure it's probably in the Bible. I need to get back to that. It's been a long time since I've read that. From end to end. I don't even have time to do it now, folks. I try to read scriptures on a daily basis, and I end up finding myself consumed. I mean, I can't do most, and this is not feedback, this is just my complaint, that until I get enough people to actually start doing these things and emulating this mantra and actually, you know, being able to not just say it, but support it. In other words, providing enough of the intelligence or the arguments and everything else so that people will actually hear what you're saying and go, yes. Now, there's been people that have been listening to me for years. And unfortunately, some of these people, I have full faith and confidence they could do this. It's not that they haven't heard it, but for some reason, they just have not been able to put it all together to do it. It's not, maybe I'm marginalizing how hard this is. I don't know. I don't think it's hard for me, but it's easy to do that, right? We all marginalize something that we do, you know, and we take it for granted because we do it and we expect somebody else to do it. And you go, huh, why can't, and I can't tell you how frustrated I am when I bring people in to do particular work when they're professionals at doing something. And I go, I know you could do better than that. That's not a good job. Anyway, I guess that's the problem when you get old, you know, that the enemy of better is good enough, or actually good enough or better is the enemy of good enough. Yeah. Because when somebody says, well, we could do this better. Well, that's good enough. Well, that's a young man's job. But I mean, if you really want something to be built right, then you want it, especially if it's yours. I mean, this is what I think. When I have a contractor come in and do work, and I look at their work and I go, do you do that kind of quality work on your own home? Do you do that kind of quality work, you know, on things you use and stuff? Because, you know, if you do shoddy repairs on your car, then your car's breaking down just like mine is, because my breakdowns are from you. And, you know, you'd think that these people would actually, you know, because this is the one thing they do. They get paid to do this. Why aren't they doing a better job? So, okay, anyway, let me get back to what I really need to tell you. Our republic is sick because we no longer demand, nor do we support or honor our republican form of government. Our nation is in shambles because we've allowed our republican form of government to be stolen by the progressives. And we didn't even know it, because over time, we actually adopted the concepts of democracy. I can't tell you how many conservatives I talk to that are demanding to use voter initiatives to fight back. That's a democracy, folks. When we the people initiate laws, we have to hold our public servants accountable to the law. If they're giving us, you know, laws and they're doing things that they have no authority to do, then what's the problem? Now we actually have to do our job. Our job in a self-government is holding our public servants accountable. And this is why America is sick, because people for over a century have abdicated their responsibility as citizens in a self-governing system and holding their public servants accountable to the Constitution. And illiteracy has a big part to do with this. I'm telling you right now, your communities have been stolen from you. That the planners network.org, go look this up, plannersnetwork.org. They actually have, they're out in your face on this. They actually have an organization that is infiltrating your state and infiltrating your counties and implementing programs, policies, and laws and rules that will actually violate your property rights and your constitutional rights. This is all a part of the communist globalist plan. And they're this far. They've already taken your communities. In Montana, I've been on a few long phone calls about this town called Livingston, where this Livingston, Montana town, the city council believes that they can pass laws. They're basically, what do you call that when you start taking over your neighboring properties? This is what Nixon did. And not Nixon. Hitler, both tyrants, but when you see that they're basically, there is a word for it. Well, forgive me, I can't think of that. But it's annexing. So here's a town that is annexing the neighboring communities. And these people didn't even vote to, you know, say we want to be a part of the town. And so they're basically just using force to annex the town. And then when they come in, they're hitting them with these tax bills that say you have to pay to get off of your septic tank and to get onto our sewer system. You have to pay to get onto our water system. You have to pay to get. And are you kidding me, folks? Your communities have been stolen. If this kind of crap is happening in such a rural state like Montana, I'm telling you, it's already happened to your state. You may already live in a suburb, but when you go out into these, you know, really remote communities where you may have a small town with a sewage system and water system, you know, they've already taken that over. They're already starting to usurp and annex the property around them. That's antithetical. The people have to basically comply to say, or actually vote and say, we want to be a part of that. I lived in an area in California that was unincorporated. We were split between two cities. And each time the cities tried to annex us, and the only way they could get away with annexing us was by actually getting us to pass a measure that we would become incorporated in that town. So we had to vote for that. We had our controls to keep ourselves out of that. How did we get to this point? The last time we had an attempt of annexation was like the 2012, something like that. So how is it that in Montana, we've got a town called Livingston that now has this power to annex everybody and say they don't have to get the property owners to buy into this. They can just do this to them. Do you understand the tyranny that we're talking about here? I hope you understand the magnitude of this evil. Now, folks, this is not a Republican form of government, right? And your parental rights, we've already covered this. Your parental rights have already been taken over. This is just two examples of how your Republican form of government has actually moved away from you. And so people think that the initiative system is the way to go, and I'm telling you it's not. I can't emphatically tell you enough that we have to actually go after, using petitions, all of your representatives and hold them accountable and remove them and get everybody to start cleaning up, removing all of these bureaucratic enforcement systems and get rid of them and get back into the Constitution. This is how we take it back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.